Society. Cashing in on history.
If you build it, they will come. Theodore Roosevelt.
In the United States, people generally do not reflect upon history unless a specific memory or monument is about to be lost or forgotten. Aspects of culture and history often become much more important when an individual or group feels that they are in danger of being wiped out or replaced by something new. However, the allure of profit and progress may be too strong to protect historical sites. It is in this way that modern commercial venues and products can encroach upon or replace historical monuments, sometimes in very disruptive and artificial ways. Is it a natural consequence of progress to throw out the old and bring in the new? Does the encroachment of retail and commercial establishments on historical venues add enjoyment to those visiting while excluding others due to financial limitations or overcrowding of facilities? I would argue that aggressive, unchecked progress may harm historical buildings and structures, all in the hopes of making a profit from tourism. In my travels, both in the United States and abroad, I have found one thing to be true. Commerce and tourism often walk hand in hand. In America, one is hard-pressed to go to any cultural performance or historical site without some type of commercial enterprise present. One cannot go to a movie or the museum, for example, without having advertisements flashed on the screen or bulking up the program. The same is true when visiting famous sites throughout the world. Almost without exception, certain American products are almost always available for a price. It seems that where there are tourists, there is the opportunity to make money. Although I do not find fault with those who wish to make a living through the tourist trade, it is through the addition of products and services that can cause disruption or destruction of historical sites. An example of this is the infamous coffee kiosk inside the walls of the Forbidden City in Beijing. When I first visited the Forbidden City over 20 years ago, there was a charming tea house inside one of the courtyards. One could almost step back in time while enjoying a fragrant cup of tea. Now, I have the luxury of enjoying my favorite coffee drink at a cafe inside the legendary walls. As a tourist, does this make my experience visiting the Forbidden City better? Or does it alter it into something that I could experience at home? In my opinion, for American tourists, there is a fine line between what is necessary to feel comfortable in a given circumstance and what one requires to have an authentic experience. This is where the dilemma lies, because not all tourists are the same and desire a similar experience. Some tourists demand a more authentic type of experience, while others want a more westernized version, or even a combination of both. Several years ago, I went to Vietnam with a group of men who had fought in the Vietnam War. One of the members of the group wanted to spend time in a rural village and sleep out in the rice paddies. As we were traveling as a group, we took a vote to decide what type of accommodation would best suit the group. Unfortunately for my friend, we ended up staying at a guest house in a local village, as the majority of the group members didn't want to have such an authentic experience. It could be argued, however, that although commercialization of a historical site can have negative results, tourism can also save sites from destruction and neglect. Tourism can function both as a savior and destroyer to historical sites. Take, for example, the temples of Angkor Wat in Cambodia. For many years, these temples suffered from neglect and were inaccessible due to a highly unstable political and economic situation. With peace and stability came a renewed interest worldwide of the cultural and historical wonders of the Khmer civilization, with mixed results. Initially, many new hotels opened up and an abundance of opportunities were created that spawned a higher level of income for a new generation of Cambodian entrepreneurs. Now, In 2008, it is felt by some restoration experts that the temples in Cambodia may not be able to physically withstand the increasing number of tourists who desire to touch them. In this instance, the progress that brought these temples into public view may in fact harm them over time. A further byproduct of tourism on historical sites may be to restrict local citizens from visiting their own cultural monuments. Recently, the Indian Ministry of Tourism stated that the Taj Mahal ticket office was no longer going to accept US dollars and would only take Indian rupees. The ministry further stated that a tiered pricing system was in place that charged foreigners over 10 times the amount that Indian nationals were charged, an amount that still might prove to be too much for those poorer members of Indian society to afford. Probably one of the most flagrant examples of choosing commerce over history in the United States has been seen recently in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. The famed Civil War battlefield is becoming just one of the many attractions in the neighborhood as developers open supermarkets, fast food restaurants, and seek permission to build a casino, all in the hopes of cashing in on the 2 million visitors who visit annually. It seems that historic preservation in the United States is a struggle to protect the treasures of our vast land against the almighty dollar and the wrecking ball. As the world continues to grow ever smaller through the internet and exchanges of information and ideas, I can't help but wonder what will happen if we fail to understand ourselves and where we came from. After all, culture and history are important ways to understand who we are and how we view ourselves and the world. Without this kind of knowledge, in my opinion, we could be forced to repeat our mistakes of the past, mistakes we simply can no longer make for the sake of future generations and our planet.